When a second shot isn't an option, visit LaserMax.com.
A reminder from Abate Monroe County. American bikers aim toward education. Distracted driving is dangerous. So pull over and eat. Don't try to read your mail and newspaper and stay off your cell phone. Make a mental note to be more alert, making it a habit to expect the unexpected. Remember to look twice. Save a life. Train yourself to watch for motorcycles which are harder to see. Join Abate and your family will be protected with a free $4,000 accident policy. Ride safe. Ride free. Ride often. Abate. If you ride, ride with us. Google Abate Monroe County.
This is Second Amendment Radio. Locked and loaded on WYSL.
AM 1040, FM 92.1, and FM 95.5 West.
And we're back in with Second Amendment Show, and we have our special guest, Paloma Capanna. Paloma, of course, is an attorney. She specializes in Second Amendment constitutional rights. And she's just written a sort of a white paper book about what happened on the Great Insurrection of 2021. Insanity. Paloma, how are you?
Good morning, Ralph. Good. How are you?
Oh, doing well, doing well. Now, you've just published your book.
She's more than just a civil rights attorney. She's a best-selling author. Come on now.
She's now a best-selling author.
New York Times number one.
Well, I got a case of her books here, Doc. I didn't tell you this. I got a case of her books the last week.
Yeah, well,
they're all gone already, and I need some more. I have eight more sold already, and
that's doing better than what's his name, Jim Wright in Texas. He had a case of his books, but they didn't sell.
Well, Hillary's book, the governor's book. Paloma's the only one I know. Paloma, I remember you reading the governor's book. You were the only one in the state of New York, I think, that read it when Duce Mussolini's book came out. Andrew, right? Go ahead.
I was. And I don't really want to sidetrack on him because, frankly, we have better content to cover. But, yes, that is true. And I don't know how he got a second book contract. But it's New York.
Yeah, that's exactly it. New York, yes. Well, anyway, we want to have you back on again because your books are selling. I'm behind on books. I need some right now, and I don't have any. I'm out of them. So we got to get some more books. So first of all, let's talk about the book for a couple minutes, and we got some other very important things to cover too. The name of your book officially is what?
The Events of January 6, 2021, What Impact the Second Amendment Movement? And you can find it at 2ampatriot.com.
Like two in the morning, patriot.com.
Yeah, with a number two.
Yes.
The number two, 2ampatriot.com. All right, so that's the name of the book. Now,
makes the perfect gift for birthdays, anniversaries.
All right, your concern, I mean, is for somebody to sit down and write a book. I mean, this is serious business. And it's long, it's hours, many hours, it's time consuming. I mean,
exhaustively documented.
It's a tough job writing a book. So
footnoted.
Your concern at that time was what? What caused you to write this book, and what's the gist of this book? What's the mission? Go ahead.
Well, the mission of the book is to set the record straight about what happened on January 6th. At the U.S. Capitol, and then to give our tribe, our Second Amendment supporters, those concerned with the intersection of the Second Amendment and other of our valuable civil rights, a go-forward plan. What that means in sum and substance, ever the lawyer, is domestic terrorist legislation is right in front of us. It's been creeping up on us for 20 years. Now here it is. And our job is to abandon all state arguments that we might have at the moment and focus on Congress and prevent this legislation from going forward.
Okay. Yeah, it's from watching emails I've gotten, looking at some of the videos and stuff from the emails and been up on the websites, they've declared war. The Biden administration, the Democrat Party, and the DOJ and the FBI have basically declared war on white middle-class American patriots, and they're dumping it especially on these Oath Keepers, these poor Oath Keeper guys. You and I have been to a number of their meetings. I mean, John Wallace, you couldn't ask for a finer person. I love the guy. You know, he died a couple of years ago. He was the commander, New York State commander of the Oath Keepers, former colonel in the New York State Police. He was in charge of the uniformed troopers. I mean, you couldn't get a nicer guy, straight shooter all the way. And they're dumping the event I call it an event because it wasn't an insurrection. It was a disturbance.
We were seconds away from it. It was a disturbance. Falling.
They're dumping this event and trying to blame the Oath Keepers, who are many of them former military. Many of them are first responders. Many of them are retired cops, policemen, and other related firemen too. So the bottom line is these people are not causing any trouble. They've had many events. They've had many they did security at the Ferguson event. When they were rioting, looting, and burning the city down, they did at the Baltimore, Maryland event there. I call it event, another looting and rioting and all that stuff. They were doing security details there. They're not problem people. So what the heck is going on here? Suddenly the Oath Keepers come out of nowhere.
It's just
and they're targeted. It's, unbelievable.
It's yeah. just some yeah. group for the left to pick on. But let's let
the
Paloma come
so
on.
So your
that.
Thoughts on that a couple of minutes, and let's get into the FBI and the DOJ for a few minutes too. Go ahead.
Sure. So the legal work that has been coming out of DOJ since just minutes after the events of January 6th were headed up by a guy named Michael Sherwin. I do discuss him preliminarily in the book. He brings us a 60 Minutes interview where he says his entire job is to bring shock and awe, his words, shock and awe to America by charging as many people as possible before the inauguration on January 20. So imagine, if you will, the way Michael Sherwin tells his own story. He's out in his tracksuit. He's running the $7 million man on January 6th at the Capitol and just happens to come to the Capitol and become an eyewitness.
Amazing.
So First of all, as an attorney, Bob, back me up on this. He becomes a witness of fact and is actually conflicted out.
Absolutely.
From working on the case. So let's begin with this first ethical transgression right there.
Yeah.
Instead, Sherwin goes forward with shock and awe to charge as many people as humanly possible. Swept up very quickly, we find first three, ultimately 12, now 16 total men and women alleged to be members of the Oath Keepers who are defendants. So you want to go to my book, grab the book. That's detailed. Then I uploaded yesterday in support of 4th of July my very first case tracker for the Oath Keeper cases. Those of you who have been with me for years probably have handfuls of these from other cases that I've followed, like the New York Safe Act and Robinson versus Cuomo and so forth. So there's a new case tracker up on my website, 2ampatriot.com. It's free. Just grab the two-page download that's going to give you the chart that we're going to keep updating on what is happening to these defendants. But here's what I don't want to do this morning. I do not want to let Michael Sherwin off the hook because guess what Michael Sherwin has done? Slip off into private practice in Washington, D.C., at the law firm of Cobray and Kim, and guess what his job is now? He's providing clients, quote, strategic advice on government investigations.
Well, that's
so
handy.
He's now off profiteering, representing defendants, getting charged by DOJ.
Oh, my gosh.
I doubt that this firm is going to be helping the 16 charged concerning January 6th.
I think that's a big no.
Yes, on my part, I did not call him for comment prior to going on the air, but let's really think about what's going on here with Michael Sherwin. You are talking about an attorney who is the master of the narrative, including his own. So just to nail this further to the wall, initially he's appointed under the Trump administration. He comes from Miami up to D.C. Then we hear, and I'm quoting, February 11th. Let's look to the Wall Street Journal. The Biden administration is so impressed with Sherwin, they're going to keep him on. And that was the news cycle for a while. What do we see by the time we get to June 4th and the Miami Herald? Now we have Mr. Sherwin telling reporters, oh, he had handed in his resignation prior to January 6th. And he stayed on at DOJ out of a sense of duty, but he's been away from his wife and his children too long.
Mm-hmm.
And on that basis, the investigation started by the Department of Justice Internal Investigations Office concerning his behavior as an attorney for that 60 Minutes interview, guess what? It goes poof. They have decided not to complete the investigation.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, that's something.
Did he not get rebuked by a judge in the great insurrection?
Yes. All right. So listen, kudos, and we'll do it in the style of Legally Blonde. I just did a snap for those of you who get the humor in that. Kudos to Judge Mehta, M-E-H-T-A. I gave him a shout-out once before on Second Amendment Radio. I'm doing it again. He brought the attorneys together immediately the very next morning after the 60 Minutes interview aired. Guess who wasn't on that call? Attorney Michael Sherwin. Sent a couple of his minions instead of being there himself. Now, listen, I'm a fan of Judge Mehta so far, so I say this with all seriousness. I had a British father. Sherwin would have been in handcuffs for contempt of court, as far as I'm concerned, and dragged in person.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's the guy who's the center of the whole thing, and instead you've got a dozen attorneys, including attorneys defending the Oath Keeper defendants, some of whom are private, some of whom are paid hourly. And we do not have the man who is the center of the controversy for his statements on 60 Minutes that he engaged his office in shock and awe planning. He's not even there to take the heat. He doesn't even own his own words. Yep. Now he's off private law firm working master of the narrative.
Yeah, he fled the area, and that's it. He's out of it. Yeah, well, that's interesting.
Now, I guess maybe Judge Mehta is picking
me. He's still in Washington, D.C. Cobray and Kim is in Washington, D.C. Do not kid yourself. Mm-hmm. We are talking expensive, hourly, private firm.
Okay.
Do not kid yourself as to where he has gone. It is not far. Do not kid yourself as to how can this be permitted. Members of Congress, right, have lag times before they can go into the private sector as a matter of law.
Well,
how is he now immediately on the opposite side of someone who wants to portray himself as a career prosecutor on behalf of the people and as someone who allegedly, I'm going by his official online profile from the Department of Justice, helped the Afghanistan Attorney General's office in more than 120 primary count terrorism trials and 250 appellate cases before a specially convened Afghan judicial tribunal. Has he brought the war on terror home to the Americas, or what? That has been my theme the last 20 years. If the Patriot Act is coming home to America, I'm pointing the finger at one of the architects right here, and he's an attorney.
Yeah. All right. The other area of two other areas of concern is one's the FBI, and one is the question as to why, Paloma, they have people still in jail for trespassing, still in prison, in jail. And what jail are they in? Do you know any specifics about that and how they are they getting away, the DOJ, the judge, and the FBI? How are they getting away with letting these people, or forcing them to stay in jail and not letting them loose? What's the deal here? How can they do this? In the United States of America, they're political prisoners right now. How does this happen? So what's your thoughts on that? What's going on? Have they let them out yet? What's the latest?
No. So grab my book, grab the case tracker. On the case tracker, one of my columns is pretrial status, including date. So the three defendants who remain incarcerated pending trial are Jessica Watkins, Kelly Meggs, a man, and Kenneth Harlson. It's very murky to me why they're still in prison. So let's just talk for one moment about how the DOJ structured its paperwork. If your listeners haven't already fainted and hit pause, if they're doing a podcast to catch their breath. Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, and I'm looking specifically at Rule 3 and Rule 7. I mean, let's get specific. I really want Michael Sherwin on the hot seat today for this segment. The DOJ indictments and complaints are filled with extraneous, in legal speak, surplusage allegations. They start with even sections called introduction You cannot do this in a pleading. It has headings like the incursion of the United States Capitol on January 6th, and it rambled on about events of the day with no relationship to any of these 16 defendants who I am focusing on for purposes of my analysis. It's got entire sections on the Oath Keepers. Again, completely superfluous. What has me confused in part, and there are at this point a lot of attorneys who represent defendants, I don't see any motions by anybody to strike the extraneous banter out of these pleadings. So that's my sort of question number one. Listen, it's a strategy question. Give five attorneys the same case. We're probably going to have some different ideas on it. But for me, why this superfluge is so irritating is that the American media, the foreign media, and media outlets like Al Jazeera are having a field day doing nothing more than copy and paste directly from the DOJ documents without doing any investigative journalism either.
Yeah,
then
well,
the
journalism's
media
dead.
Does not cover any of the positive progress. So, for example, I've got 3 out of 16 still in. That means 16 minus 3 equals 13. Mm-hmm. You have almost zero coverage of 13 out of 16 defendants in this category being released pretrial, some of them the same day that they entered their plea of not guilty. And there's no media coverage of that. So the DOJ, again, Michael Sherwin, his design, shock and awe, is controlling a false narrative at the very same time that the liberal media is screaming at us that we are being false. So really, the Second Amendment movement has got to get back to the business of the facts, asserting the facts, repeating the facts. I'm quoting Bill Robinson there, repeating the facts. And getting hard data into the hands of those who are putting things like the Department of Justice at the top of the front page.
Let me stop you for a minute. Just ask a question here. Who's doing that? Who is telling this tale other than Paloma Cabana and Second Amendment Radio?
Ammoland News.
Good.
Bill Frady on Lock and Load.
Yep.
Weird Beard on Assorted Caliber Podcast. Erin Pallett is running around to her organizations, including Pink Pistol. So trying to get the word out. And if you will, the early adopters who are helping to steer the bow of the ship and change the tack of where we're going, kudos to you for listening to me and my 375 or whatever footnotes that it is in this white paper. I suspect that a number of our folks simply have had no idea what to do. And there has been an absolute deficit to my way of looking at things of anybody saying anything. I mean, unfortunately, concurrently of this, of course, the NRA is having its own problems. There's a pandemic. So even the Second Amendment Foundation conference in September is on Zoom. So the normal places or typical places where we might even just be seeing each other in person at gun shows, for example, where I might have a table, where I might be able to answer questions, we just don't have them right this second. So the airwaves, publishing, $20 through a website, it's what we've got to do to try to push back against this false and really manipulated chapter of the Department of Justice history in America.
All right. Now, because we're almost out of time, we only got 5 more minutes with you. The FBI is a concern, Paloma. I'm talking to people up here. I listened to a couple of guys on the radio the other day, totally recommending that this FBI be dismantled. I know we've said this on the show. I mean, they're saying that on huge radio stations. I'm hearing this throughout the state of New York. People out here, professional people I'm talking about, many of them, in law enforcement are saying it's time this FBI gets neutered.
Not they got it. This administration, buddy.
This is just out of hand. We got an FBI out of control that you can't trust them. And we're at the point now where if I got called by an FBI agent to meet with them, I'd have to have my lawyer with me, a tape recorder on, and another witness with me, one of friends that I could trust. I will not sit down with one. And this is what our guys are saying. There's no way I'll ever sit down with an FBI agent again. You can't trust them. They've gotten that bad now, untrustworthy. Bold-faced lies coming out of Washington, D.C. night and day. They're political hacks for the Democrat Party. They're protecting the Democrats, and they're prosecuting the rest of us. Get prosecuted. Again, Christians, conservatives, Republicans, Patriot Movement people, Second Amendment people get prosecuted. You were talking earlier, what was the other group that we talked about, another group? Anyway, we're all targets of this there's no Justice Department and the FBI now.
Bill, they've been betting people for years.
Yes, they have. That's exactly right. Now, our concern is, and wrapping it up with you in the next few minutes, Paloma, people are saying, Sean Hannity and others are saying that clearly there's been federal agents involved with this quote insurrection, which is all BS. It wasn't an insurrection. It was a disturbance, basically semi-rioting, a disturbance. Anyway, the short answer to this, Paloma, your answer to this is what? What are we going to do about the FBI, or what's your recommendations? What's going on here? Go ahead.
I don't have recommendations concerning the FBI. My fear is the consolidation of power in the executive branch under the president, starting with Bush 2, the minute 9/11 happens. There is an agenda that supersedes politics here, and until the American people wake up and realize that it's been four consecutive presidents, now we're in the Biden administration, legislation passed just a month after 9/11 to define domestic terrorism, hundreds of millions into the billions of dollars specifically appropriated for the consolidation among and renaming of, in some instances, the various intelligence agencies under the direction of the president. It is a war on the American people, and technology has advanced to the point where we stand to lose it all. Because you eliminate the FBI, so what?
Yeah.
You've got another 17 agencies to work with. What difference does it make? Then we just have to figure out which room the files have moved to, or what the newfangled, what do they call them? The groups when they go in with publicity and advertising people. Focus group.
Focus group. Right?
What the new focus group title is, like Homeland Security and Patriot Act.
All right.
Right? Smart bombs. Another one of those terms.
Yeah.
So take a look at domestic terrorism. Ask yourself, if you intend to be an activist, if you intend to be an American and say anything politically incorrect political spectrum, you've got to get on this.
All right. We're out of time. Paloma, thank you very much for joining us. We're out of time. And check out the book, folks.
Get the book. 2ampatriot.com, folks. Yes. Get a copy. 25
thanks,
bucks.
Thanks a lot, Paloma.
God bless.
Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Paloma Campana, your book is quite an interesting book, and it's
an
accurate reference book. It's a historical book, and she's the first one that put that out, and it's wonderful. All right, anyway, in closing here today, a couple of our other sponsors. One is Ikin, I-K-K-I-N, I-K-K-I-N. If you want the most beautiful AR-15 you've seen in a long, long time, well-built, functional, looking sharp, I mean, really nice looking AR-15s. Check out Ikin. Stop down there at Scottsville Road, 1250 Scottsville Road, and see Chris if you want a custom built AR-15. And if you want to get the kids into an active sport, check out paintball. The paintball classes he's got there, the different events he has for paintball. Ikin, I-K-K-I-N. Check out the website. 328-0250. 328-0250 is the phone number, area code 585. One of our other sponsors is Northside Salvage Yard for guaranteed tires. You want a tire? They got multiple tires out there, guaranteed auto parts, and cash for junkers. Northside Salvage Yard and Jerome's Auto, located at 701 Atlantic Avenue, 482-5573. 482-5573 for car repairs, truck repairs, vehicle repairs. Check them out. Jerome's Auto.
All right, folks, with that music, we're out of time. Till next week, same bad time, same bad channel. Keep your powder dry. God bless. And don't forget to please, please use our sponsors on the show and tell them that you told them, that you've heard about them on the Second Amendment Show. Until next week, God bless.
All right, then. Thanks so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget Bill Frady's Lock and Load immediately following this program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Also hear him at 7 a.m. on Saturday, Lock and Load. Another great Second Amendment show on the WYSL station. See ya.